Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. Today, we're going to focus on measuring practice success and developing good habits. With spring ball upon us for a lot of schools around the country. Some, you can't get to it maybe till June, but we're all looking to develop or test out some of those new ideas we've obtained during the clinic season. We want to identify how personnel fit into our system and figure out what adjustments will be necessary for the upcoming season. All of these are legitimate concerns, and spring practice will allow coaching staff to address them. But this is also a time that we need to establish the habits that will make the team successful in the fall. Getting the most out of practice by improving the performance of players on the first team and the scout team is critical. And it's something that has always been a difficult thing. We've talked about that on the podcast, and we've talked about different ways that we can get more out of our practices. We could get more out of our scout team. We can better simulate what's going on game day. Effort and execution are two key components for improvement. In many situations, especially in spring ball, when the upcoming sophomores are learning to adjust to the varsity football program, the first team is able to have its way with a scout team. So getting a look from the scout team is always a challenge. And many times coaches become frustrated with the scout team, but in truth, they may be giving it all that they can give. So putting the focus on the first team players and their effort and execution will pay bigger dividends than being frustrated with the scout team. We want to bring those guys along. We want it to be a positive experience for the scout team, those guys who are learning and growing in our program, and constantly being on them doesn't necessarily create that environment that we want. So as long as they can get to the proper alignment and assignment that's drawn on the scout card, then first team players can understand the schemes and concepts that are being executed regardless of the performance of the demonstration players. This doesn't mean that the scout team's players' performance is de-emphasized. Rather, the focus is shifted off of them and onto the first team. Expectation is maximum effort, but the reality is most scout players are there right now for a reason. They don't have the ability of those first team kids yet. They're developing. They will get there in time with our coaching and with their work ethic, but we have to be patient with them. It's just not their time. But they are such a value to the team that their motivation must be kept high by being positive with them as coaches. In some ways, this takes the pressure off of them, and indirectly, measurables are created for them as well. So here are some thoughts on standards and evaluation for spring practice. And this is with an offensive focus in mind here. So number one, every play scores. Even when a defender touches or fits up the offensive player, he continues and goes to the end zone. He scores. If possible, the backup runs on the field and plays the next set snap so that tempo is not interrupted. The habit being developed is finishing. This doesn't have to be a live tackle drill. Defenders are told to wrap up and resist. It could be a thud drill. It could be a tap-off drill. But the point is, it doesn't stop for that ball carrier once the whistle blows. He's going to continue and keep working until he crosses the goal line. And it also creates a conditioning effect. You want to determine where you want to put the football. We don't want to be going 70 yards. If you look at going in, 30-yard line as a starting point is probably appropriate. Number two, no defender touches the running back for the first 5 yards. If a scout player can touch the runner, a first team player from the opposing side can tackle the runner. The emphasis is on both fit and finish for the offensive line. If they don't get the proper fit and if they aren't working their feet, they will not be able to accomplish this objective. Again, we're not focusing on what the defensive scout player is doing here. We're putting the emphasis on the fit and finish of that offensive lineman. Because offensive linemen know that the other guy is maybe not quite as good. So we just want to be perfect in technique here. We want to be perfect in fit so that that guy cannot get a hand on him. Number three, on pass plays, no defender is within 4 yards of the quarterback ever. This really forces the offensive line to move their feet and get in proper position. just keeping the defender from sacking the quarterback is not enough, especially versus a scout team. Game day will be much more difficult. It also motivates the scout team player to go hard because while he may not be getting sacks, his work is being seen because he is putting as much stress as he can on the offensive player and on the quarterback. Number four, on pass plays, every player runs towards the ball after it is released for at least 5 yards. This is just good football. Offensive players are finding work and are in position to make a big block or recover a fumble or just get into a spot to make the next play, which is also important for tempo teams. The emphasis on this is at a premium. So we don't want our players to stop and watch the play. The idea is that you're finding work. It's something that we mentioned in one of our deliberate practice episodes during the season. I'll link that in our show notes. Number five, route timing, spacing, and separation are important aspects of the passing game. Chart the number of properly executed routes. Being collisioned off routes, not separating, or not stacking defenders on deep balls are all situations that must be avoided. Again, we're avoiding that situation that a player is just beating the scout team player all the time and gets a little bit lazy on some of his technique. While he may be able to get that separation without stacking him, again, he's going to be playing somebody more talented on a Friday night. We want to emphasize that here. Separate categories for each can be created, or the pass concept as a whole can be evaluated by giving the practice rep a minus if it wasn't perfected. Either way, be sure to note which errors are happening so those techniques are worked on in individual periods. Number six, most teams are concerned with tempo at this point. Even for a huddling offense, getting in and out of the huddle quickly is necessary. A coach can count out loud on every snap to make everyone aware of the tempo. Chart the times and expect them to be within a certain parameter based on the tempo being used. So from the time that ball snaps to the time it's snapped again, there should be a frequency in there that is consistent throughout practice. And you can do that by verbally giving the count on every single play after the whistle. So a lot of this, at the college level, we would film all of our practice. We could see all these things. We would chart the tempo every day in practice. I know some teams don't have that equipment, don't have the personnel necessary to film all these things. It's as simple as assigning a coach to each one of those things, putting it on their script. Was it a plus or was it a minus from their eyes and what they saw on that play? The whole idea is at the end of practice, we have some kind of measurable in each of those areas where we know we did well and we know we had to get better. Make the measurables visible and put a daily emphasis on what the results mean for the performance and progress of the offense. Post the results of each practice in the locker room, giving the number of opportunities for each standard and the number of times it was achieved, resulting in a percentage grade and a comment on what that means overall. For example, good practice and tempo, room for improvement, or not a championship effort on the run game because of poor footwork, or that was a B day on pass protection. We can do better. The whole idea is you want to put more than just that number on there. Let them associate something with it and put the emphasis on those things that you have to get better on in the next practice. Put that chart in a place where everyone will see it. Be sure to make comments for the scout team and consider naming a scout team player of the day. I think this is huge, especially for those young guys who are called upon to be your scout team players. For example, a defensive end may have been able to get within the range of the quarterback before the ball was released 3 times and may have wrapped up the running back in the first 5 yards 4 times. Recognize his efforts and other scouts will follow suit. The result will be that the scout team becomes more motivated and does more, and the overall practice becomes tougher on the first. Lastly, with this kind of a system, you want to set some initial standards. Maybe some are always a 100% expectation, like the ball carrier scoring. Maybe others are more difficult, so they are given an 80% standard. Maybe it's, you know, your offensive line is developing a little bit. They're not great at pass protection, so they're stressed a little bit more by the scout team, so an 80% would be good there. However, continually raise that standard as players improve and timing and technique develop. So you want those standards to be raised throughout the course of your spring ball. This was something that we had implemented at Baldwin Wallace University in the fall, It was something we carried into the spring, even though in spring we had to measure differently because we didn't have pads on. But overall, it helped improve our practice, effort, and execution. And our offensive players had clear standards of what we expected to see on film or what we expected to see on every single practice rep. And it's a method that can be developed for a defense and special teams unit as well. So think about those kinds of things that you can do to apply this to the defense. What does it mean for them? Because when you think about it, a lot of times that defensive line is right into the backfield and disrupting everything so that you're not getting exactly what you want from your second or third level players. So think about how you can implement some of those things on defense and think about applying that to special teams as well. Hopefully this idea was useful for you. Please reach out on Twitter at FBDEVcoach and let us know what you liked about this or other ideas you have that can help coaches in practice. Check out all we're doing with our systems for blocking, defeating blocks, and tackling at footballdevelopment.com. It has been some great stuff. If you're watching the interaction on Twitter, the advanced tackling system, a lot of those drills are starting to appear all over the country, but we want you to dig deeper than that. It's not just about drills. This is a method of teaching your defensive team to tackle. This is a method of evaluation. So please get into it and dig into it at footballdevelopment.com. If you're enjoying the podcast, head over to Twitter and give us a 5-star rate. If you have time, write a review.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.